The report of the leader and cabinet items for information. This is pages 449 to 464. Paper 11 will be introduced by the leader, and then I'm going to ask him to mention any key points from this report. I'll then invite the members who have submitted questions in advance to ask the questions, and on my list I've got Councillor Broome, Councillor Verdon, Councillor J. Locke, Councillor Redman and Councillor Clark, and I assume that you may have her questions. Thank you. So, Councillor Fothergill.
Thank you, Chairman. Took me a bit by surprise there. I wasn't quite ready. So we're starting ahead of time. I rise with the report that's in front of everyone, the report of the leader and the cabinet. The items are well laid out there. I'm very happy to answer any questions from my portfolio and along the line as well. It's me, Hugh.
So, Councillor Broome.
Thank you, Chair. Do I ask my questions in order? Can I just check? As I have two questions.
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. So my first question relates to Chard Junction. I won't reread all of the question as we've stated earlier. I'm sure people have read them. My question relates to the conclusion which was reached by the pupils at Manor Court School, whereby they concluded for various reasons Chard Junction should be reopened to help support the local community. So my question is as written, and could I ask for a full written response as well? And I would also like to ask, if possible, if the Cabinet Member would have the courtesy to write to the pupils at Manor Court School relating this matter. Thank you. That's the first one.
Thank you. Councillor Woodman, would you like to reply to that now?
I'll read the answer out, and I'll make a comment on it after that. We support the principle of reopening stations where there is proven and sufficient demand to make the service viable and where the necessary rail timetable changes can be accommodated. We support the proposal to open a new railway station at Chard Junction, subject to the necessary demand and feasibility study being undertaken, and are happy to assist communities in commissioning such studies once the funding has been secured. Unfortunately, this council does not currently have sufficient funding available for to scope this project. Just on the school matter, I'm in constant contact with the member for that division where the school lies in, and I think it would be appropriate to liaise with her on this particular subject.
Thank you, Councillor Woodman. Councillor Broome, would you like to continue with a second question?
Can I just come back on the first question? Because Councillor Woodman didn't answer the second part, which was what incentives and encouragements can SCC directly make to Manor Court School? And even though I appreciate you may want to go through the ward member, I think it's important for the school that they do have a response on that matter.
Councillor Woodman.
My response is the same, Chairman. I'll liaise with the ward member where that school, you know, is in that division. I shall liaise with the member for that division. Thank you.
Councillor Broome, I invite you to ask your second question.
Well, I will state then that my second question is a matter that is in my ward member, but I do feel, and I'm sure Councillor Verdon would agree, that we both represent Chard and we are both working together for the whole of Chard, so I don't think it should just be split like that. But either way, my second question is Crestapool, and I would ask what is the current status of Crestapool in comparison to County's initial plan dates, and if there is a discrepancy between the two, can this be explained? Thank you.
Thank you. I would now normally go straight to Councillor David Hall to answer, but you did name Councillor Verdon, so she does have a right of reply, should she wish to do so.
Thank you, Chair. The school in question is in my division, in my county division, and the Chard Junction is also in my county division. They are, for me, to appreciate the difficulties or not, and the opportunities that we have in that area. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor David Hall, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Amanda, for your question. Very straightforward. The pool has been decommissioned as planned. Property services are currently exploring the options for disposal and or demolition at the site. and officers have been working closely with Holyrood Academy to look at whether the premises could be converted, but the school have now informed Somerset County Council that the premises are not suitable for any educational reuse without major financial investment.
Thank you. Councillor Verdon now to ask your question.
Thank you, Chair. Given the positive economic news for South Somerset that in the same week Dyson announced a move to Singapore, Pneumatic International in Chard are investing in the local area. Will the leader join me in welcoming the announcement by Pneumatic, the UK manufacturer of Henry vacuum cleaner, that they will be creating 300 new jobs in Chard? And would he accept an invitation to visit Pneumatic's headquarters, if one is forthcoming, to see for himself, when it comes to economic growth, Chard is very much open for business?
Response from Councillor David.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Gemma. I was delighted to read about the investment from Pneumatic, particularly following so closely with the surprise news from Dyson, who seemed to be abandoning us. But I'd be delighted to attend, and I know that since the question was filed, a date's come in for next Tuesday. Very much looking forward to it. And, yep, I'll be there and be really pleased to see what work they're doing.
Thank you. OK, well, I'll move to the next question. Councillor Jane Locke on the dreaded word Brexit.
Yes, I apologise for that, Chairman. Jane's question is about Somerset County Council planning for Brexit, and in particular the grant, the one-off monies of £87,000, and how that might be spent. Chair, if that's enough to sort out Brexit, I shall walk home by way of the Bristol Channel and the River Brew, because clearly to most of us, £87,000 seems a very small pot, but it would be very interesting to know exactly how the County Council intends to spend that on the greatest preventative measure of all. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Fothergill.
Liz and I are on the same page with this. There's no difference. We're extremely grateful for the £87,500. I would say that it's over 2 years as well, so it's £175,000. Not being ungrateful at all. We're not sure of what responsibilities are going to come as a result of the Brexit deal, whatever that looks like. So at the moment, we're just sitting with that money, putting it to good use in our reserves, and as and when the time comes, we'll spend it appropriately. If you ask me now, I've got no idea on what we're going to be required to spend it on. I would say that in the case of a no-deal Brexit, we're going to be in quite a dire position because of trading standards, environmental health, registration and a host of other things. But at this point in time, I'm afraid your view is as valid as mine as to what's expected.
Councillor Lee Redman.
Chair, thank you. I'll try to keep this brief. We heard lots of praise today for the work our staff do running our Young Carers service. We have heard how Young Carers build relationships with the staff that give carers an important break from their normal life, a life that without doubt saves us and our partners money. We've heard today that it will take time to build the second option. We do not have a proposal on the table. It will take time to build a robust solution. Chair, I will take my question as written. In fact, I will make it easier. I call on the Cabinet Member for Children's Services to send our young carers a glimmer of hope. Give our current staff members that are being forced to move roles that most do not have to take up until the end of March or till March, give them a choice. Please, Francis, or Cabinet Member for Children's Services, go on record today and agree that if any change should come forward, it will not be implemented until the end of the current 1920 financial year. This will give staff a choice that there still will be a cliff edge for them, but it will move it for a whole year and give those young people that save us a fortune, an opportunity to work with us to build a solution for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Chair.
Francis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I am grateful for the question, and I'm also grateful to note, and I'm very pleased to do so, that earlier this morning in the budget debate, you endorsed the direction of travel for the redesign of the Young Carers Support. The Director of Children's Services has made it very clear that he is confident that he has adequate resources to meet the statutory functions of Children's Services, and he's also said that on a number of occasions, including at Children's Scrutiny, that there is no statutory requirement to have a council-run Young Carers Service. That is not the same as saying we're not proposing that there should be support for young carers. Of course there should. Of course there should. And of course we appreciate the value in all senses of what they do. I now think, given that the question as written is on the paper in the public domain, that I do need to respond to that. I and the Director of Children's Services have made it clear that young carers in Somerset at the moment are missing out. As in most council areas, the support needs of young carers are met by the voluntary sector, which is able to access funding not open to councils. It is this work which is due to report to Cabinet after the local election period. I and the Director of Children's Services are concerned that the Chair of Scrutiny is commenting in his paragraph 4 on operational performance. He should know from the statutory guidance that this is not a matter that elected members should comment on without objective evidence provided either through the Director of Children's Services or through Ofsted. Neither has been requested. He also questions the Council's HR processes and policies. No evidence has been offered that the Council's processes are at fault. Given the improved financial position, there is no intention to reduce the Council's funding to support young carers. Indeed, we remain committed to changing the service to support substantially more young carers. We do recognise that change is unsettling. However, it is important that all of us support vulnerable families and children during this period of change. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Clark, your question now, please.
Thank you, Chair. Earlier today we heard, and this is something quite rare, I think, the voices of some young carers. We rarely have the opportunity to hear from people who are directly affected by the actions this council takes, particularly where services have been cut or threatened. I was recently invited to attend a young carers group where I heard how the young carers service provides vital support to young people who are caring for a relative. With your permission, Chair, I would therefore like to introduce my question with a statement written by a young carer by the name of Imi, who has agreed that I can read out her statement, and I welcome that opportunity. And she writes, I am part of Somerset Young Carers Project and just wanted to share...
Can I just stop you there? I'm being advised on my right-hand side that this should be members' questions. Are you asking this question on behalf of a constituent? Or...
No, there is I'm leading to the question. This statement puts the question into context.
Could you just wait? Sorry to halt you a second.
Oh, that's fine.
I must listen to the advice.
Again, just to advise, providing it's succinct and related to your questions, Councillor Clark.
Yes, it is. Well, I believe so. So she writes, I am part of Somerset... Oh, thank you, anyway. I am part of Somerset Young Carers Project and just wanted to share something I wrote about the service with you. Without the support of young carers, our day-to-day life will become extremely difficult. The Somerset Young Carers Project provides me with respite from the pressures of caring for my mum. The service gives me a couple of hours a week to be a teenager with less responsibilities. They give me a chance to do things at groups with people in similar situations, trips in the summer, and fun things like gory makeup. I'm not quite sure what that means, but it sounds dreadful. These might sound like small things to you, and you might think they would be fine if it got cut, but you wouldn't believe how much those small things mean to the individual young carers. If you haven't been in this position, you may struggle to understand how much these cuts will impact on hundreds of young people. We have so little for such a mammoth task, and we serve some of the most vulnerable people, and it feels all support is being taken away from us. And I appreciate that no firm proposals have been put forward about the young service, but this just puts into context about the concerns. For my own situation, I might have to leave education to care for my mum, as her caring hours have been cut. I'm only 16 and I have a younger brother. I try my hardest in school and want to achieve in college, not have that dream shattered. It seems very short-sighted to take money away from the most needy who receive the smallest amount. We are dependent on the council to change their minds. I hope this helps you all understand at the council that we are vulnerable young people and what we are being put through is unfair. So I've now lost my question, sorry. Please bear with me.
IT issue,
yeah. So I feel I can add little to what Emmy has so passionately stated. However, what concerns me... I've been distracted by people talking. However, what concerns me is the approach being taken where services such as Get Set are allowed to run down because of staffing cuts, a decision we made last year as council, and then we are told it's not an efficient or viable service. This is now happening, I believe, to the young carers team. Whilst the decision was clearly made last year, this service would not be subject to cuts, but other options be considered with full consultation taking place before any decisions were made about the future provision of this service. But what we then saw, I understand, was staff being offered redeployment, sending them a clear message that their jobs were at risk. The result of this is that from April the 1st, all members of that team who have left or accepted redeployment.
Councillor Clark, could you please come to the question so that the Cabinet Member can answer it?
Okay. I would, with all respect, question the honesty of the actions taken around this offering redeployment. And with the approach being taken of providing the bare minimum statutory service, we are seeing the vandalism of our public services. Please can Councillor Nicholson provide assurances in terms of the young carer service, and I'm now reaching my question. But as I have said, I understand that majority of people have chosen to leave or accept redeployments. And the questions are, why were team members offered redeployment when no proposals have been made as to the future of the service? Is it not the case that the council only offers redeployment where posts are clearly identified as being at risk? And my last question is, can the cabinet member tell us how the service and as been stated in public documents, activities will be maintained and what arrangements have been put in place to ensure the service continues in its present form until proposals are presented about the future of this vital service? Thank you, and I'd welcome a written answer as well. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Thank you. Councillor.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. There will certainly be a written answer. I refer to the member to the answers which I gave both to public questions and to member questions. Given the improved... I repeat, in case you didn't hear it the first time round. Given the improved financial position, there is no intention to reduce the Council's funding to support young carers. Indeed, we remain committed to changing the service to support substantially more carers. There are different ways of supporting people. There are matters which are not the purview of elected members, unless and until they have the evidence from the DCS or from Ofsted to make allegations. Also, questioning the Council's HR processes and policies without offering evidence is not acceptable. Any evidence that there is, any information that they have, should come to the DCS and it will then be dealt with there. Thank you, Mr Chairman.
Could I come back, Chair?
Is it a point of clarification?
Yeah, well, I'm seeking clarification.
Can
the member please, with respect, can Councillor Nicholson please say whether team members were offered redeployment or not? It's not a matter of evidence. Were they offered it? And the result of that is, and that's the reality, that the team will no longer exist from April the 1st. And can she say, as in answer to my third question, you know, how will the activities be maintained and what arrangements have been put in place in light of the fact that the team will no longer exist from the 1st of April? I'd welcome a response. Thank you.
Councillor Nicholson.
Detailed personal questions should not be dealt with in open council. If the member wishes to have a meeting with the Director of Children's Services, I'm quite sure the Member of Children's Services would be able to arrange that. And I have, as has the Director of Children's Services, made clear that arrangements for continuing groups which may have different members of staff or different people running those groups. Those groups are in place and will remain so unless and until different arrangements are made following Cabinet decisions.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Tessamunt, you did wait to put a question just now.
I did. Thank you, Chair. I also would like to ask some questions about this, and I just wondered if Councillor Nicholson expects not to reduce the funding and there are no staff elements to the funding of that budget, where will that money be spent, please, in this year and the following year? I have other questions, but I'd like to take them one by one, if I may.
Okay. Councillor Nicholson, please.
This is a matter for future, when proposals are brought forward, future Cabinet decisions.
Councillor Mund.
I'd put it to Councillor Nicholson that this is an urgent situation, since I understand absolutely that none of the team members will be left as of the 31st of March. I would put it to Councillor Nicholson that actually it's incredibly difficult for members of staff who have been redeployed in other areas of the County Council's work, that they would find it incredibly difficult to comment on the situations that have faced them, having worked in young carers before, unless they have the protection, of course, of whistleblowing. But a number of staff are very anxious about their future employment with the County Council. Can I ask, please, if this process seems to be going on, what consultation and what engagement has taken place with both parents and with those young carers involved in the service at the moment?
Councillor Mann, could you...
Thank you.
You appreciate that you didn't submit those questions in advance. I'm going to give the Cabinet member the opportunity, if she so chooses, to give you a written reply, unless she feels that she is able to answer now. But I feel that she should be given that opportunity. If she'd sooner give you a written reply, then she may do so.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll certainly provide a written reply. However, in the meantime, I repeat, it is not appropriate to discuss particular personal circumstances at full council. And the members all have had a member information sheet on the questions that the councillor has raised.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just trying to iron out some of the anomalies between that member information sheet and what I understand from young carers and from their parents. I'm sure we'll get to the bottom of this at some point. I'd appreciate a written answer to those questions. In the meantime, can I please ask, and this is only a theoretical question, it doesn't relate to any individual person or any individual situation. I'm sure the member will be able to deal with this one. Can I ask what quality checks are available to assessments of young carers and whether any quality check has been made on assessments by, I gather it's adult social care staff who are undertaking those assessments. I wondered whether I could someone understand what quality checks are done, by whom, and what the results of those are.
Councillor Nicholson.
Again, I will provide a written response, but I can say now that assessments are done and will be done according to statutory guidelines. And there is statutory guidance covering how they should be achieved.
One last question, sir. I wondered if Councillor Nicholson could explain what it is, or maybe the Director of Children's Services would do this, I don't know. Having made an assessment, what does she consider to be the statutory minimum function in response to an assessment? Is the council committed in any way to taking any action, or does it just collect the data and go, this is a young carer? What is its statutory minimum function in responding to an assessment?
Councillor Nicholson, please.
The council must provide the appropriate services to meet the needs of the child, and the joint agreed threshold document from the Safeguarding Board will be an appropriate document to consider.
Thank you, Councillor. We will move on. So if there are no other questions, and I see Councillor Fothergill's just put his hand up, I was going to call upon him to speak.
Just a point of order, Chairman. I think from the Chairman's run-through, we had talked about taking items 15 and 16 as part of that. I wasn't sure if we're therefore we can tick them off on our agenda. Have we covered those points now?
Sorry, Chair, again, just to assist, unless there are any specific points that either of those two Cabinet members wanted to draw to the attention of Council. I can see already Councillors Nicholson and Perwick indicating they would like to do that.
Thank you. May I, Mr. Chairman? I'm now in the same status. Have I got it in the right? Yes. I do want to say to point out a couple of things about my annual report. Dedicated leadership and staff in children's services have worked together, are achieving. They are open and outward looking, strengthening capacity and working with national information and analysis. I want to mention one particular member of staff, and that is Philippa Grantier, who has been Assistant Director Commissioning for Children. Among other things, she has led the very thorough and complex work on early help. I am extremely grateful for all her hard work and, as she leaves, wish her well for the future. In the report itself, I draw members' attention to two particular points. With corporate council-wide support, the Children's Services budget has been rebased and sharply increased to a realistic match for the demand in the county. And also to point out, reflecting the increased capacity in the service and some areas self-assessed as good, the council has been providing some externally funded support to other southwest local authorities. I commend the report. I hope you have all had time to read it in full. It's not very long, but very thorough. And of course, I'm happy to answer any further questions, but I think I've had the questions that I'm going to get.
Okay, I'm going to invite members now, if you wish to ask any questions of Councillor Nicholson with regarding to her annual report. I'm looking around the room, and I don't see anybody indicating.
In which case,
that is noted. Accordingly, I trust you'll agree. And I will turn now to Councillor Perbrick. Faye Perbrick, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'll keep it short as well. Firstly, I'd like to give my thanks to all the teams that have been involved in the various transformation programmes over the last 12 months, and for our partners as well. They are an essential part in our processes moving forward. I won't go into a lot of detail, as I'm sure you've all read the report, but there are a couple of areas that I would particularly like to highlight. The first being our school build programme. It continues to deliver some spectacular spaces for students across Somerset, whilst at the same time, I'm pleased to say, being recognised by the Department for Education for our efficient delivery of capital projects. That's been accompanied by a request from the Department to provide peer support to other authorities, and I think the team's work should be recognised in this area. Secondly is the ICT team and the achievements that they have made over the last 12 months. They've recovered from an estimated £2 million overspend to now be coming in on budget. This has been achieved in a large part by strongly renegotiating ICT contracts, managing capacity and rolling out services to support the county-wide rollout of our Technology and People programme. Worth noting, over 1,000 members of staff were able to log on remotely during the recent snow period, meaning no disruption in our services. There are a number of other teams that you will see from the report that deserve highlighting as well, but I won't keep you any longer. The one thing I would like to say moving forward is transformation and a major redesign of how this council can deliver the best outcomes and results for residents of Somerset will result in whole organisation change and transformation of structures that make us a council that can focus on a prevention agenda, managing demand, building resilience and using digital best options to serve our communities. Of course, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
I'm looking around the room now to see if any member has questions. John?
Just a brief one, Mr. Chairman. You mentioned that 70%, Faye, managed to work from home of the staff. 1,000 staff. Sorry, I heard the percentage at a meeting a couple of days ago, I think. You're saying 1,000. How many is the total staff? Can't hear, sorry. 3,500. So 1,000...
Just over 3,000.
OK, so 1,000 managed to remotely work from home in the recent snow.
It was actually more than 1,000 that managed to log on. I'm saying more than 1,000.
Should we call it 1,500?
I think the actual figure was about 1,300, if you want to be really precise.
No, not precise. My concern is, so 3.5 hours, 1,000, 1,300 is 2,200, who couldn't work because of the snow. Perhaps if the roads were sorted, they could have made that.
No, please. Sorry, just to clarify, those other people were able to still come in because the roads were functional for them to do so.
Councillor, I'm sorry, I'm going to call a point of order on here. We're here to debate her thing and to ask questions. We're not going to go on expeditions about gritting or walking on the moon or anything else like that. I'm sorry. Please, if you've got questions for her, nice attempt, but no. Sorry, John. Councillor, do you wish to reply?
Yeah, just to really say, part of the transformation programme with our IT systems, we have staff out across the county at all times, and members as well, hopefully using their technology from home to log on. What the ICT team have done have managed to make a secure channel for that to happen, and that's what we should be celebrating. Sometimes people can't come into work for a reason, whether that be health or another appointment, and we now have the resilience to be able to access what we need to make this county run, and I think that should be celebrated.
Very briefly, Councillor John.
Thank you very much. Faye, my apologies, and yes, I accept the system is brilliant. I was merely trying to make a point which I was quite rightly pulled up on, and I understand.
Councillor David Fothergill.
Chairman, I would just like to pull a positive out and just be sensible. You know, in the morning when we've debated climate change and the unnecessary use of vehicles and cars and fossil fuels, isn't it absolutely right that we should be moving to a much more distributed IT system where people can work from home? Would you like me to sit down, Chairman, while Adam Dance continues?
Chair, I'd like you to continue. I'm ignoring people cutting in unless they indicate they want to speak from either side. So you have the floor. Please continue.
Thank you. So I would just like to congratulate the IT team for providing that ability. I think it's fantastic. And in terms of climate change, it's got to be the right way to go to encourage people more to work from home and not to travel unnecessary miles. That's what climate change is all about, tackling those issues.
Councillor Parham, and then there was somebody here asking a question. I didn't see who.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Well, I'd rather call it remote working rather than working from home, because not everybody works from home. They just remotely from the office. And at Menet District Council, for example, we went through this process several years ago, now 6 years ago, I think, where we looked at the most efficient use of our staff and where they were best based to provide the services they do most efficiently. And one of the things that came out of the study that we did was that the staff that actually routinely work from home are more efficient than the ones that come into the office to work. So, you know, if you're looking at driving efficiency throughout the council, I would suggest that's one perfectly good way of doing it. The staff that work from home tend to be happier, they tend to find their work-life balance is better, and they tend to be more efficient, and I think there's a lot to be said for that. We do still get grumbles from members, particularly, who go into the office only to find the officer they went to see there is working remotely that day, so we do have that issue we're still to deal with. But with modern technology and telecommunications, you can phone an officer at any time and you wouldn't know whether they were sat at their office desk or on a beach, because the communications is seamless. You would go straight through, and providing the officer's doing their job, in most cases, does it really matter where they're doing that job from? And I would argue, providing they're doing it properly and efficiently, that's the key point.
Councillor Faye Pobrin.
I'm not entirely sure there's a question to answer there, but the one thing I would encourage all members to think about is a wonderful thing called Skype. If you're looking for an officer and they are working remotely, then Skype is always an option, but you could also work remotely and Skype with those officers if necessary.
Councillor John Clark, I saw you indicating.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask whether it's possible then to look at Skype in terms of committee meetings and scrutiny meetings if we don't wish to speak, as it were, but be part of the meeting, whether that could be put into place for people.
Councillor Purbrick.
It is something that I'm exploring with our monitoring officer. Watch this space.
Thank you. I see there are no other questions around here, so I'm going to ask you that I will announce that we're going to note those reports, and that was a couple of reports, and we will move to the next item. The next item is item 12, the report of the Scrutiny for Policies and Places Committee. You'll find this on pages 465 to 468. Paper 12 will be introduced by Councillor Anna Groscock, who is the Chair of the Scrutiny, Policies and Place Committee. Councillor Groscock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise to ask members to note the report. I wish to thank my committee and all of those who have attended. I apologise profusely each meeting if it goes on for longer than 2.5-3 hours, but that does maybe assure you that we do deal with our subjects and actually do delve into everything. I was most surprised at my first meeting. Anna, by the way, you're responsible for budget monitoring. And even though I've been a councillor a long time, I didn't realise the consequences of that. I can assure you that we did deal with it. And my committee have actually been very good at bringing forth some opinions that may actually affect the decision makers and change the policies in some small way. I thank very much the whole financial team. It's the first time I would say that we've had complete clarity of finances, and I thank them very much. But in view of the fact that we've only had improvements in 5 months' time, I feel very strongly that we still need to have our regular updates on our financial situation, and I look forward to seeing the business plan on how it's going to be delivered. When I asked for this information, I was sent a mission statement, not a business plan. I thank everyone for their contributions. I would like more councillors to actually come to scrutiny, because it actually does teach you how things are delivered in great detail. And young carers has been mentioned a lot today, and that was one of the first things that was brought to the attention of the Policy and Scrutiny Committee, and we actually did get the policy changed at that time so that the Children's Department could actually consult with the young carers, and I believe that's still taking place. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Chilcot.
Perhaps I could just respond briefly, and I think we all value the work of all of our scrutiny committees, and the questioning has been excellent, certainly in the policies in place scrutiny meetings I've attended. Just to pick up the point about the business plan, if you Google Somerset County Council business plan, it will come straight up.
Thank you for that clarification. I'm looking around the room to see if there's any questions. Councillor Fothergill.
It's not a question, so I'm happy to defer until you've answered questions.
Yes, please. Yes, please, Leader. Any questions around the room at all, please? There's one coming very quickly, I hear it. But,
I would just like to stand to thank Anna for chairing Scrutiny Place. I thank Mike Lewis, Anna, for being Vice Chair of Scrutiny Place, for all the members that have sat on the committee over the last year, for the work they've done. I think they've done some extremely useful and quite challenging work at times. I know they've got a full schedule coming up, but equally I know that this is where the climate change agenda is going to sit. So I thank them for what they've done, and I wish them well, and we look forward to receiving some report at the end of the year on their work. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fothergill. I see no other questions coming, so we will note that report, and I would like to thank at this stage Councillor Nicholson, Councillor Groscock and Councillor Purbrick all for their work on their reports today. Thank you. We'll move to item 13, which is going to be the report of the Scrutiny for Policies, Adults and Health Committee, pages 469 to 472. It's paper 13 to be introduced by Councillor Mark Healy, Vice Chair of the Scrutiny for Policies, Adults and Health Committee. Councillor Mark Healy.
Yes, thank you, Chairman, and forgive me. I mean, unlucky 13 is my one, but just before I do, I'd like to say something about working from home, if I may. The exception to that, as you'll know, ladies and gentlemen, will be the emergency services who cannot work from home. So, if I may, through you, Chairman, I'm delighted to introduce the report of the Scrutiny and Policies Adult and Health Committee. This report covers the meetings from the 5th of December 2018 and the 30th of January 2019. If I may, through you, Chairman, and with the members' support, I'd like to touch on one or two items that were considered by the members of the committee, because when I joined this committee, Chairman, it's amazing how it grabs you, adult social care grabs you, and the actual enormous amount of efforts put in by people. And importantly, the amount of cash it takes absorbs a huge amount of money, like it does for the county council. So we discussed through the committee Healthy Western programme on various subjects. What came out of that for me, because as you will imagine, ladies and gentlemen, I'm quite vivacious when I get going. I know the director is in love with me totally. But what came out of it, I think, was important, was the members were keen to support and call for here to be a university base in Somerset, allowing homegrown students to undertake their clinical experience in local hospitals. How many times have we cried out for a university in Somerset? So I think that was a real plus for the committee. And moving on briefly, if I may, talking about community hospital updates, pleased to hear that Wellington Community Hospital has reopened, I'm led to believe, which is a really good plus for the local people there. And again, what came out of that was the incentives to make nursing more attractive were discussed. These included free car parking while on duty, travel discounts, and reintroduction of some sort of nursing bursary. Ladies and gentlemen, why wouldn't we want to do that to look after our staff? So I think that's another positive that came out of the committee. And importantly, on the last item, which was the medium-term finance plan, and of course I really would touch on that today, wouldn't I? It was a must. But what came out of it, it was unanimously, and this was for the Cabinet, etc., and if I may quote this, it's one of the two proposals that we made. And if I may quote, the Scrutiny for Policies Adult and Health Committee recommends that the Cabinet, in partnership with other stakeholders, including group leaders, Somerset MPs, take a leading role in proactively lobbying central government about the urgent need for sustainable long-term funding for adult social care in Somerset. And in fact, adult social care nationally, why wouldn't we do that? And then the final recommendation came from Councillor Revens, which is the Scrutiny and Policies Adult Committee wishes the Cabinet to be aware of the future risks to adult social care funding, particularly the future capacity to deliver further savings and the impact this will have on preventative services. Chairman, that's my report on behalf of Hazel Price, thank you, and the committee. And if I can answer any questions, I'll do so gladly. And if I can't, the director will. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Any questions, please? I'm looking around the room. And then John Thorne, then, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to correct something there, it may have been the intention at the time of the committee meeting for Wellington Community Hospital to reopen, but it hasn't done. It was postponed, it was going to open, and then it has been postponed indefinitely now. Unfortunately, there's a staffing issue in community hospitals right across the county.
Healy.
Thank you for that, Chairman, and thank you, John, for that. You know, how disappointing that in the report, this is what, you know, sort of, unless I've been misled or misled myself. But again, I'm pleased you brought that, because that's something that would come back up to the committee next time, that we can actually look at this proactively, because that's just not acceptable, is it? Thank you.
Thank you. I see no other questions, in which case we will note. Thank you. Pardon.
As is my turn at this time of year, I'd just like to rise to thank Hazel Price Anke in particular for chairing this committee so ably over the last year, and I'd also to thank Mark Healy for being vice chair of it and all members that sit on it. The only comment that I would make is that I've heard that Mark's cakes he takes long are not quite up to Hazel's standard, but I'm sure he's practicing. But thank you to everyone that sits on the committee. Extremely useful work.
Thank you, leader. As I was saying, we will note that report, and I thank Councillor Healy and Councillor Priosanke for the work that she's done in there, and all your members on the board, and all the boards. We go out. So I'm going to move on to the ultimate question, which will be the report of the Scrutiny for Policies, Children and Families Committee. You'll find that on page 473 to 478. Paper 14 will be introduced by Councillor Lee Redman, who is the Chair of Scrutiny for Children and Families Committee. Councillor Lee Redman.
Thank you, Chair. And finally, to a depleted audience. Thank you for staying, those of you that did. I'm glad to present our update report, Chair. A couple of important points. Obviously, thank all of officers, those involved with presenting and those helping in the run of the committee. As is traditional, is a shout-out. My committee, we're lucky enough to be able to have some co-opted members on the committee, and there are some governor vacancies. So it would be remiss of me not to take the opportunity now to remind both members and members of the public and press if they could advertise the fact that governor members are more than welcomed. We're currently seeking, we have a number of vacancies, so anyone with any interest at all, if they can either come to myself or officers, and we will find a way forward. I look forward to working with our DCS and members of our committee to be able to work on our forward work programme. One would hope that over time we're able to build that to make the committee both more involved rather than looking back in a way that we can get involved in looking forward. Chair, I present the report as written and happy to take questions.
Thank you, Councillor Redman. Are there any questions for Councillor Redman? Councillor Fothergill.
It's pretty much the same as I said about Jewel Shortland or Jewel Johnson. Lee, as chair of that scrutiny, he's just got such a passion for it, such a passion for the children, and I commend him for that. I say frequently that there is nothing more important than the children that we look after, and the children in our care and the children of Somerset. They are our future. I'm delighted with the work that's been done by the scrutiny panel looking at this area. I continue to support it, and I'm very grateful to Lee and to all the members of that committee for their support in this area, so thank you.
There being no other questions, I would like to just thank you, Lee, and your team again. We note that report, and my last comment is I'd like to thank the officers who, when we were preparing for this the last few days, we anticipated a little bit of civil disorder this morning. It didn't, thankfully, happen. There was reason prevailed. I think we had some interesting debate here from all sides of I keep wanting to call it the House, the Chamber. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for your contributions. And I close the meeting. Thank you. Yes.